Tanabe's Phase 3 win for drug targeting rare diseases that cause pain upon light exposure. Tanabe Pharma just proved that the rare disease development model remains intact, scoring a Phase 3 win for an oral therapy targeting erythropoietic protoporphyria and X-linked protoporphyria, conditions that cause debilitating pain upon light exposure. This isn't just another clinical readout. It's evidence that the orphan drug economics blueprint continues to generate returns even as the broader healthcare system faces unprecedented cost pressure. While the Department of Justice sues hospital systems for anti-competitive contracting and rural facilities contemplate service cuts under new federal funding constraints, specialty pharma quietly advances high-margin assets in spaces where price resistance remains minimal and regulatory pathways stay favorable. Tanabe Pharma, a subsidiary of Mitsubishi Tanabe, announced positive top-line data from its Phase 3 trial in March 2026, marking the company's first major clinical milestone in the rare disease space. The oral small molecule targets two ultra-rare genetic disorders characterized by painful photosensitivity, a debilitating symptom that forces patients to avoid natural and artificial light. CEO Akihisa Harada helms a company now positioned to enter a market with virtually no competition, limited payer pushback, and a regulatory environment designed to accelerate approval. The trial's success comes as healthcare economics bifurcates. Specialty drugs command premium pricing with minimal resistance while hospital systems face antitrust scrutiny for contract practices that the Justice Department claims inflate costs. New York Presbyterian, the largest health system in New York City with over 25% market share across Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx as of 2024, was sued in March 2026 for allegedly requiring insurers to include all of its hospitals in their networks if they wanted access to any so-called all-or-nothing contracts. Just 5 weeks earlier, the DOJ filed similar charges against Ohio Health. Meanwhile, rural hospitals like Montana's Big Sandy Medical Center struggle to afford basic maintenance on aging infrastructure, with former CEO Ron Weins noting the facility needs at least $1 million for deferred upkeep, including a failing HVAC system. Follow the money, orphan drug economics versus healthcare cost pressure. The contrast reveals where institutional capital sees opportunity. Rare disease drugs command pricing power that hospital systems, despite market dominance, increasingly cannot. Orphan designation delivers 7 years of market exclusivity, tax credits covering 25% of clinical trial costs, and regulatory fee waivers. More importantly, payers rarely challenge pricing for therapies treating small patient populations, even when annual costs exceed $300,000. The math works. Development costs may reach $200 million to $400 million for a Phase 3 program in rare disease, but peak sales can hit $500 million to $1 billion with patient populations under 10,000. Compare that to New York Presbyterian's predicament. The hospital system operates 8 hospitals and dozens of outpatient sites, generating massive revenue but facing margin pressure that prompted contract structures the DOJ now calls anti-competitive. The agency alleges these provisions limited insurers' ability to offer more affordable plans and slashed competition from lower-priced providers, insulating the system from price competition. New York Presbyterian counters that insurers hold the actual market power and use it to restrict patient choice. The dispute illustrates a fundamental shift. Even dominant providers face pricing constraints, while specialty pharma operating in orphan markets largely does not. Rural facilities feel the squeeze differently. Big Sandy Medical Center's emergency department consists of one room with a curtain between two beds, serving a town of nearly 800 residents in Montana's North Central Plains. The facility struggles to make monthly payroll and relies on community donations to stay open. Montana received over $233 million in first-year funding from the $50 billion Federal Rural Health Transformation Program, part of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act intended to offset nearly $1 trillion in anticipated Medicaid cuts over 10 years. But the program focuses on new, creative ways to improve access, not direct service funding or infrastructure renovation. Montana's application includes language about rural hospitals right-sizing inpatient services, bureaucratic phrasing for cutting beds and consolidating care. The regulatory arbitrage Tanabe's Phase 3 success exploits a regulatory environment designed to encourage rare disease development. The FDA's orphan drug program, established in 1983, created financial incentives to overcome the historic market failure in rare disease R&D. It worked. Orphan drug approvals surged from fewer than 10 annually in the 1980s to more than 50 in recent years. The program succeeded so completely that it now represents one of biopharma's most attractive risk-adjusted return profiles. For erythropoietic protoporphyria, EPP, and X-linked protoporphyria, XLP, patient populations number in the low thousands globally. EPP prevalence sits around 1 in 75,000 to 1 in 200,000. XLP is even rarer. Current management consists of behavioral modifications, avoiding light, and afamelanotide, an implant requiring specialist administration. An oral therapy offering sustained symptom control faces no generic competition and limited biosimilar threat. Patent protection extends into the 2040s. Commercial infrastructure requires a specialty sales force of perhaps 15 to 20 representatives covering metabolic specialists and dermatologists. The approval pathway will likely involve a single pivotal trial demonstrating improved sunlight tolerance measured by patient-reported outcomes and objective markers like duration of light exposure without pain. The FDA has granted orphan designation and may offer fast-track or breakthrough therapy status. Total development time from Phase 3 initiation to launch, 24 to 36 months. Launch pricing for oral rare disease therapies in metabolic disorders ranges from $200,000 to $400,000 annually. With peak patient penetration of 60% to 70% and a diagnosed population of 2,000 to 3,000, peak sales could reach $300 million to $600 million. At gross margins exceeding 85%, EBITDA contribution would be substantial. Contrast that with New York Presbyterian's economics. The hospital system's 2024 discharge share exceeded 25% across four boroughs, but operating margins for academic medical centers averaged 2% to 4%. High fixed costs, labor intensity, and payer pressure compress profitability. The DOJ's antitrust action signals that regulators view hospital market power as a cost problem, not an innovation incentive. The Sherman Act violation allegations suggest enforcement priorities have shifted toward healthcare delivery, not just pharma pricing. If the DOJ prevails, hospitals will lose negotiating leverage with insurers, further pressuring margins. Capital allocation implications for institutional investors, the divergence matters. Private equity continues to deploy capital into specialty pharma platforms with orphan drug pipelines. Recent transactions in rare disease have commanded enterprise value to sales multiples of 6x to 10x for commercial stage assets and upfront payments of $500 million to $1 billion for late stage programs. The risk-reward compares favorably to hospital mergers and acquisitions, where regulatory scrutiny, labor costs, and reimbursement uncertainty depress valuations. Hospital system acquisitions face additional headwinds. The DOJ's parallel lawsuits against New York Presbyterian and Ohio Health indicate coordinated enforcement targeting payer contract structures across multiple geographies. The complaints focus on all-or-nothing provisions requiring insurers to contract with all facilities or none. If regulators succeed in unwinding these arrangements, hospital negotiating power erodes and revenue per discharge declines. Rural hospital mergers and acquisitions presents different challenges. Montana's Big Sandy Medical Center exemplifies the problem. Facilities serving essential communities but operating at persistent losses, dependent on subsidies to maintain services. The Rural Health Transformation Program's $50 billion sounds generous, but Montana's $233 million first-year allocation spread across dozens of facilities translates to insufficient capital for comprehensive infrastructure renewal. The program's emphasis on right-sizing, code for service reduction, suggests policy acceptance of reduced capacity in rural markets. The Plaquemine View Tanabe's Phase 3 win underscores a durable investment thesis. Rare disease development remains one of the few healthcare segments where pricing power, regulatory support, and limited competition align to generate predictable returns. The orphan drug model works because it solves a coordination problem. Small patient populations make traditional commercial models uneconomical without incentives. Policy has consistently reinforced these incentives regardless of broader healthcare cost debates. What the market underestimates is the expanding definition of rare. Genetic sequencing and biomarker identification continue to fragment common diseases into molecularly defined subsets, each qualifying for orphan designation. Oncology led this trend. Metabolic disorders, immunology, and neurology are following. The addressable universe for orphan drug strategies grows annually. Tanabe's protoporphyria program exemplifies a classic play, genetically defined, objectively measurable, unmet medical need with no effective oral therapy. These characteristics de-risk development and commercial execution. The institutional capital opportunity lies in platforms that can repeat this model across multiple programs. Single-asset rare disease companies face binary risk, multi-asset platforms diversify while maintaining the favorable unit economics of each program. Strategic acquirers, large-cap pharma seeking growth, pay premium multiples for late-stage rare disease assets because they integrate seamlessly into existing commercial infrastructure. A company with 3 to 5 Phase 2 or Phase 3 rare disease programs becomes a credible takeout candidate at valuations exceeding the sum of risk-adjusted net present values. Contrast this with healthcare delivery. Hospital systems face structural margin compression from labor costs rising faster than reimbursement, regulatory action limiting contract negotiating power, and capital needs, particularly in rural markets, that exceed available subsidies. The DOJ's antitrust enforcement signals a policy priority to reduce healthcare costs by attacking provider market power, the opposite of the incentive structure supporting orphan drugs. Rural hospital dynamics are even less attractive. Montana's experience shows that even $50 billion in federal funding translates to insufficient capital when spread nationally, and policy emphasis on right-sizing means accepting reduced capacity. For institutional allocators, this suggests avoiding hospital mergers and acquisitions unless acquiring distressed assets at significant discounts or consolidating to achieve genuine operating efficiencies that offset regulatory headwinds. The bottom line: Tanabe's Phase 3 success in erythropoietic protoporphyria illustrates why rare disease development remains a priority for institutional capital, predictable regulatory pathways, minimal price resistance, and high barriers to competition. The same week, regulators sued New York Presbyterian for anti-competitive hospital contracting and rural facilities contemplated service cuts under new funding constraints. A Japanese pharma subsidiary advanced an oral therapy for fewer than 5,000 patients globally, and that's the better bet. The orphan drug model generates returns because policy designed it to. Hospital economics face the opposite dynamic. Policy increasingly views provider market power as a cost problem requiring enforcement action. For private equity and strategic acquirers, the message is clear: back specialty pharma platforms with rare disease pipelines, avoid broad hospital mergers and acquisitions except at distressed valuations, and recognize that healthcare economics increasingly bifurcates into segments with pricing power and segments without. Tanabe picked the right side. Allocators should follow.